We need to understand a few basic things about this. And I'd like to remind you of something that's already been written in The Power of Now, and that is that your life consists of what you call your life is usually your life situation. Your life consists of your life situation, which is your job, your financial situation, your relationships, your living situation, your health situation, whether you're young or old, or whatever is happening in your life. All that makes up your life situation. And for most people, that's all there is. They don't know anything else. Their whole life consists of what they call my life. When they refer to my life, they're talking about their life situation. And in The Power of Now, I differentiate between your life situation, which is one level, and a more fundamental level that I call your life. We are going to talk about these two levels today at a time when, for many people, their life situation is becoming challenging. They're encountering new limitations suddenly coming into their life situation. The only difference between our present situation in the world and what normally happens is that many people experience similar things at the same time. So many people at the present time experience some form of challenge or limitation coming into their life, as many of the structures, the external structures in the world, are becoming shaky, and some have collapsed already. As you may remember from A New Earth, I speak about the collapse of Soviet communism, which nobody could have predicted, and I speak of the impending collapse of many of the structures that are ego-based, that are an external reflection of an inner state of consciousness, that is the ego. And those structures, which of course includes financial structures and so on, are now beginning to collapse. And something totally new will arise. How long this collapse will take, I cannot say. But everybody can clearly see, and even the experts are talking about systemic, I hear this word on the radio, a systemic crisis or something like that. In other words, the crisis is not to do with this or that on the surface of things, but concerns the very structure of these organizations. In the same sense that the human mind, the problems of the human mind have not to do with content of whatever is the content of your mind, but the very structure of the mind, the human mind, that needs to change. So for many people, limitation in one form or another is coming into their life situation. And that is actually not what the media wants us to believe. These things are dreadful. The challenge that many people are encountering at this time is actually that which will push them into a new state of consciousness. That is the possibility, that is the promise. Whenever you encounter a crisis situation, whether it's personal or collective, there is the opening into a new way of being, the possibility. It doesn't mean that everybody will embrace that possibility. So we need to first of all see, not believe what we are told in the media, that we should be in a state of fear, that the only real response, the only natural response to what's happening is a state of fear. That is an unconscious response. We need to see that change is absolutely necessary in this world, and the dissolution of many of the ego-based structures is absolutely necessary for the planet to survive and for humanity to survive. So what's happening is not dreadfully bad. What's happening needs to happen. The totality, the intelligence behind phenomena is doing it. So it is a good thing. And if challenges come into your life, which might mean limitation, financial limitation, you may have to move somewhere else, you may have to downgrade, uncertainty may come into your life. Oh, that shouldn't be happening. I should know what's going to happen for the next 20, 30 years of my life. Well, you don't know anymore. And that is wonderful, that there is suddenly an opening into uncertainty. So is it possible for you to embrace uncertainty and not demand that you should know what's going to happen to you in your life situation? To embrace not knowing, to embrace uncertainty, and to embrace, yes, there are difficulties, there are challenging situations, but that is part of being here on this planet in this form. I'd like to remind you of there's a book called The Road Less Traveled, and I never got to read the whole book. I basically got stuck on the first two sentences of the book, and those first two sentences of the book were so good that you didn't need to read anymore. I don't know whether that's a good thing for an author to write such a good book, that all you need is the first two sentences. And if you don't get that, you can still read the rest of the book. But if you get that, so the first sentence is, life is difficult. Okay. And the second sentence, I don't know literally, but it says something like, and if you know that life is difficult, and you accept that life is difficult, it's no longer difficult. It's difficult when if you say it shouldn't be. But if you go with, yes, the uncertainty, this is part of being here in this form, there is continuous uncertainty, and the certainty, the rigidity of things is an illusion. The certainty that all these structures are solid, and you can sometimes see it, that the certainty, the World Trade Center looked very solid, and gone. And all this, the structures, the big banks, they looked so solid, nothing could possibly happen, they're there forever. And within a few weeks, they're beginning to crumble. Soviet communism, nothing looked more solid than Soviet communism. You say, this is so rigid, it can't possibly, it must at least survive for another 1,000 years. The rigidity of it and the people who embodied that is it's not going to move. When you saw the Soviet rulers greeting the on military parades, huge tanks and rockets going past. Nothing can be more solid than that. And within a year, collapsed. The whole thing collapsed. Now, Now, one good thing, of course, about traveling to India is that there the external reality is a little bit less solid than in the West. So you're less likely to delude yourself that you live in a solid reality that can be controlled or that you can be in control of. There you see the structures are actually a bit shaky everywhere. And even if you go into a luxury hotel, you never know what's going to happen. So we are learning to go with the flow of things, as the expression goes. And the flow of things is fluid. It's not a continuous change. Something new is arising. And why demand that you should, there should be certainty in your life? Be open to uncertainty and see how empowering that actually is. And not say, okay, but what about my pension plan? What the mutual funds? I had saved all my life and now, look, I got the statement, I lost 50% of it. Yes, so, but you're still here. That's your life situation. Whatever happens, your life situation. And you may remember a year ago you were looking at your mutual fund and said, wow, it's made so much money. It's great. And it feels good. And then you look at it again. Oh, okay, now I can relax now. And then you relax and then the next one comes and says, oh my God. Life is difficult. Things are dissolving. And see, if you resist internally what is happening, as the media teaches you to do, then of course you resist the flow. You resist the arising of the new. The arising of the new state of consciousness primarily in you, and eventually the arising of new external expressions of that state of consciousness, a new world. We don't need to be concerned about that. That comes of itself. What we need to be concerned about is to be open to this transformation, to be open to not knowing. So there's our life situation, and it's interesting. There may be interesting changes happening in our life situation, and we say, that's fine, whatever change comes, you look at the situation and see, yes, or suddenly a limitation is coming into my life. I lost my job, and my investments are not worth that much anymore. Okay, then, how can you overcome these limitations? Limitations can be overcome always on two levels. There is the external limitations. Limitations can be overcome on an external level. And other limitations can only be overcome on an inner level. So you need to see whatever situation you encounter in your life. Is there anything I can do to overcome these limitations? It might involve moving somewhere else where you don't have a huge mortgage anymore. It might involve moving to a different location. It might involve finding a different job or thinking outside of the box and doing something totally different you'd never even thought of. Of thinking creatively. So whatever limitation you encounter in your life, you look at first of all at the externals of the situation. Is there anything I can do? And then you become still. And then you start thinking again, and you look at the situation. What are the possibilities? Then you become still again. Then you look again, you think, or you talk to someone, and then you go back into stillness, and that process may take a while, not necessarily just a day, of looking what it is, what is it that I can do, and going within, where you're not looking for anything, but become comfortable with what is here and now. And when you become comfortable with what is here and now, you're stepping out of your life situation into life. Life is now. Life has nothing to do with what's going on in your life. It has nothing to do with past and future, or what your relationships are, or what your financial situation is, or your living situation is, or even your health situation is. That's all your life situation. That is not life. Your life situation exists in time, past and future. Life is now. So it is vital that you learn to step out of your life situation so that periodically, so that your life situation does not absorb your entire attention continuously, because if it does, it'll drain you and eat you up, because you'll have continuous stuff to think about, one problem after another in my life, my life situation. And you just think, oh, now I have to, oh dear, what about that problem and that? And you're thinking about, there's a continuous succession of problems that I need to worry about. And if I don't worry about it, it's all going to collapse totally, even worse than it has done so already. I need to be responsible and worry. You're being eaten up by your life situation. Your mind, it comes down to your mind, because your mind gives power to your life situation. The continuous involuntary mind activity really is your life situation. If you don't think about your life situation, there is no life situation. What situation? You come into, you step out of that periodically, vital to learn that, and come into life. And then the mind says, what do you mean by life? Okay, let's see where that is, that life. You step out of time, your attention, you remove your attention from past and future, okay? How do you do that? Well, a little help would be, what about now? What's wrong with now? Do I have a problem now? Now? Of course I have a problem now. Look at my bank statement. Of course I have a problem now. I need to move by the end of the month. I got notice. I'm not talking about the end of the month or what's going to happen to your mutual funds. I'm talking about, do you have a problem now? No, I can't see any. I'm trying hard to find a problem in this moment. Well, there's a stain. No, there isn't. I'm just saying, there's a stain here. Is that a problem? No, it's a stain. Okay. I have a backache. I don't, it's just an example. I have a back, is that a problem? Only if you start thinking about it and saying, am I going to have to live with that for the rest of my life? Or why do I always have a backache? I wonder what's wrong with me. No, it's not a problem, it's a backache. It's just that. You stay with what is now. Don't spin some stories about what is now. Don't judge it, compare it, say it shouldn't be. You come into now. So the first level of now is whatever is around you. That's only level one. Level one of now is your sense perceptions. Wow. And that's already a revelation. When you step out of being totally possessed, eaten up, eaten alive by your life situation, and you step out of that into just, even just becoming aware of sense perceptions, you're entering the now, because you can only perceive now. and you're not perceiving any problem. You're perceiving what is now, sense perception, this room, the people, the incredible variety of human forms. Amazing to see. Every human form is different and unique in some way. It's beautiful. You can sit in a public place and be in the now and watch people. Nothing to do with your life situation. You're there as a presence, watching, perceiving this moment. The incredible fullness of this moment around you in the form of life forms, human life forms, animal life forms, plant life forms, the air, the incredible forms and shapes that are continuously moving, the spectacle of phenomena, unbelievable variety. It's fantastic. And you have no idea that this is going on around you when you're totally trapped in your life situation, which really is your mind. So we are learning periodically to step out of that level that I call life situation and enter life. Life is now. This was level one of now, what is around you. Be alert to that. Because otherwise you miss the whole thing, because you're so concerned about your conceptual reality, which really is what a life situation is. You're so concerned about your conceptual reality that you miss reality. Your conceptual reality eats up your entire attention continuously, and you're worrying about your life, which in reality is your life situation, but you call it your life. It's not life at all. And so this is a dreadful fate for a person to be consumed by their life situation. And so they miss the life. They're trying to find the life, the fullness of life in their life situation. And they're hoping that if they can eventually sort out their life situation so that they can find life. But if your life situation is all you have, you're never going to find life, because your life situation is a set of thoughts and concepts in your head. So to become empowered, you need to rise, one could say you rise above your life situation, which doesn't mean you don't deal with things anymore. You still deal with things, but you realize there is a level or a dimension to you that is far more powerful and vital than whatever is happening in your life. So accessing that dimension is vital, and that really is what spirituality is all about, not having some weird ideas about this or that, or beliefs. It's nothing to do with ideas. It's nothing to do with concepts. There's no such thing as spiritual concepts. Concepts are not spiritual. They're not even spiritual thoughts. There's no such thing as a spiritual thought. A thought is not spiritual because thought is form. Spiritual is the formless dimension in yourself. Level one, then, whatever surrounds you. And you can say, yeah, but this is still form too. Yes, it's form too, but it's not a mind form. It's not a conceptual form. It's what is here in the world of physical forms. Be open to that. Level one of the now. Level two of the now, don't get attached to the numbers. I'm just saying two. Level two of the now is feeling that you're alive. Level two is so your attention was on what is around you. The world is multifaceted. There's incredible play of phenomena all around you, and you acknowledge that, and it's beautiful. It has nothing to do with what your relationships are doing at the moment, or what your bank statements are doing at the moment, or whether you have a job or you don't have a job, or whether your wife has just left you, or their husband has done this, or whether you're nothing to do with any of that. You're stepping out into presence. Level two of presence is to feel that you're alive inside. You've already noticed that the world around you is alive. Well, that's a big step forward. You have noticed that the world around you is vitally alive. So to notice that, you need to have stepped out of your life situation, your conceptual reality. Wow. Okay, that was... You breathe. It's beautiful, the play of forms. And then you feel that you inside are alive. Your body is alive. You feel the aliveness in your hands, your arms, your legs, and the totality of aliveness, the global aliveness inside in the background. And you can still look around and see the incredible aliveness around you. Now, if you feel the body inside, you're already moving to an even more vital dimension than the vitality of life forms. There's your body. It feels good to be embodied, to sense the aliveness, even in an everyday situation. When things are going, when you're listening to the news and say, something dreadful has just happened, there will be negative growth next year in the economy. Negative growth, what does that mean? We are now officially in a recession. Oh my God. We are going to buy less at Christmas this year. Oh no. We are not going to run around like mad rabbits this Christmas. Oh, that's dreadful. So even when you listen to the news, I'm exaggerating a little, but there's some truth in it. Even when you listen to the news, you can feel the aliveness within while they're saying, we are now officially in a recession. The entire automobile industry of the United States may collapse and drag everybody else down. And you feel the aliveness inside. So there you have something more vital than that. And if you are part of the automobile industry of the United States, and if it affects you directly or indirectly, when the situation arises externally, then you will deal with it. You will address it in the now. And you accept whatever is, and you look at it, okay, what is it that I can do? And then you go into life. And then you go out again and look at your situation. And you go back, find the balance between dealing with your life situation and entering life. So level two said the aliveness in the body while you listen to the news, for example, or while the phone rings and somebody says, oh dear, we need to do something. Well, if anybody comes to you and says, we need to do something, you step out of the life situation and become present, where there are no problems. So you can hang on to your inner body, and then an even deeper level of your life situation, which of course they're all connected, they're ultimately all one. At the deepest level, the one that contains it all is the realization that underneath it all, who you are is not the thoughts that go through your head or whatever is happening externally, but you can actually sense within yourself that you are that in which all the phenomena appear. That's the deepest level of life. Life is the consciousness that you are, the I am. we attach nothing else to I am. The I am is the deepest who you are in your innermost identity. That is consciousness. It is formless. It is the light in which everything appears. And to feel yourself, even at this moment, to feel that nothing that can be defined is who you are. Nothing that can be thought is who you are. Nothing that happens around you has anything ultimately to do with who you are in your essence. Success or failure ultimately has nothing to do with who you are. Success cannot give you your true reality. Failure, success, is not who you are. It's all the play of forms. It's all to do with time. It's your life situation. Stepping out of that, into the power and the fullness of the present moment, where you know yourself as consciousness itself. Another word you could use as a pointer is to realize the stillness within yourself. Consciousness is still, alive, vibrant, but still. Underneath all the things that are happening externally and internally in your mind and your emotional field, you remain as that. And that can be in any situation when you are the master, the spiritual master, knows him or herself as consciousness in any external situation. You can actually sense a spaciousness inside you, no matter what's happening, and even while you're thinking, well, you're going to think much less, because there's no reason to think totally unnecessary things all the time. To sense always in the background the I am, the stillness. That which is precious, something very precious, indestructible. And sometimes you may need to encounter a life-threatening challenge that suddenly comes in to sense that. But whenever a form in your life begins to dissolve or collapse, there's a greater chance to discover within yourself that which is beyond form. So let's say the entire stock market collapses and you get your statement and it says zero. That moment of looking at your balance and you say your mutual funds have gone from $500,000 to $5. This form that was important to you has dissolved, and you look at that. And instead of resisting, because this is what is, ultimately, it's only a figure on a piece of paper. Only when you start thinking does it become a big problem. But the reality of it is, you're opening this thing, taking it out of the envelope, and you're reading, and there's little scribbles, computer printout, which has a little figure on it. And that's all that it is in the reality of the present moment, unless you make a problem out of it and start thinking, what's going to happen to me in the future? How am I going to survive in my old age? I've worked for nothing, 30 years of work for nothing. What does that all that mean? It means it's a story around the simplicity of a figure on a piece of paper. And then once you are trapped in that, you're lost. So to see very clearly, this is the master, you're becoming a master when you just see the simplicity of any moment without going into spinning stories around me, my past, my future. It was all in vain. Yeah, I failed. It's all been pointless. I'm never going to make money again. What's going on? Oh. All mind stories, mind created stories. So the solution to your financial or other problems is stepping out as much as you can into the aliveness of the present moment, which is who you are in your essence. You are the now in which everything happens, the consciousness in which everything unfolds, the timeless space. And then look at the situation. So you're coming from you're rooted in a deeper place, and then you're dealing with the externals. But always be very careful, because the externals have a pulling power, and you're living in a world that's totally hypnotized by the externals, and in a world that continuously tells you how important the external is. And every time you listen to somebody say, this is so important, you should be worried, you should be in fear, you should think about this, let's discuss it. And the world has this pulling power. So you need to realize everybody is hypnotized into believing that this is all that there is, and this is absolutely serious and important. It is important, perhaps, but it is only relatively important. It is not of absolute importance. Of absolute importance is finding the essence of who you are, and then deal with things from there, so that a different energy flows into, even into what you do, so the two are not separate. Even your so-called life situation changes, is affected by the power of life itself when you are aware of that in yourself. So a different level of consciousness flows into what you do. A different energy flows into what you do when you realize that whatever you do is at best only relatively important. Whatever happens is relative. The only one thing is absolute, and that is finding life, or as Jesus calls it, the fullness of life, which has nothing to do with your life situation. And the strange thing is, the life situation tends to unfold with greater ease when you are connected with something, that dimension that is deeper than life situations. And then even on the external level of your life situation, things happen more lightly, more easily. And that's the beauty of it. And this is the practice then. And no better opportunity than the present time, when you're being challenged, rather than being deluded for a few more years that all is well, when it isn't, because eventually things are going to dissolve around you anyway, and if they don't dissolve around you, then you dissolve before they do. So it's better to see that fact now than wait until you're 92 years old, you may not be that alert anymore, to find the reality of who you are and the reality underneath phenomena. So here's the mastery of life, is to live in two dimensions simultaneously. and then see what happens. You're practicing then every moment, and whatever situation that arises in your life becomes a practice for staying present within that situation, to feel the depth of who you are, the power of now, the power of consciousness as you deal with things. So this is what it means to become empowered. That's what everybody wants. But they're looking for it where they can't find it. They're looking for some power in their external life situation. The power must come from within. It does not come from your thoughts or from whatever happens out here. So another way of putting this is, look at whatever limitations arise in your life. Let's say you're trapped somewhere in some unpleasant situation or place and you want to get out. Look at the situation. What is it that I can do? Or perhaps there's nothing you can do for right now. It's a beautiful thing to see at this present moment, there's nothing I can do. I can't even pick up the phone. It's Sunday today. I can't call anybody. Nobody's at work. There's nothing I can do except be with what is. Stay. The next day, action arises. Not losing yourself in the action, another important thing, because it's very easy once you start to speak and to act, you totally lose yourself in that. You get stressed. The slightest stress means you've lost yourself in your life situation again. It is possible to deal with things effectively without stress. Just be more powerful than the situation. For most people, the situation is always more powerful than they, so they feel smaller than the situation. That's normal. And that's a delusion, because it all arises from consciousness. So you are actually far more powerful. The power of who you are is far greater than anything external. But that's, people don't know that. So they're always reacting to something, defending themselves against this or that. Realizing that the situation actually has very little power. And if your state of consciousness changes, external reality reflects the change. This does not mean that anything remains absolutely solid in external reality. It still is subject to continuous fluctuations, so you don't attach yourself to anything. But it's beautiful to see that external reality reflects basically your predominant inner state. If your inner state is empowered, and it can only be empowered when you are not lost in your life situation, then the empowerment is reflected around you, and it may come in many forms. It may come as financial abundance. It may come as anything, any form that the aliveness can take. So it's an incredible thing to discover that you are actually more powerful than the world around you. Not in the narrow egoic sense that you say, I can control everything that happens. No, So this is a wonderful opportunity now to experiment with consciousness, with your life situation and your life. Find where is the life at this moment? Do you feel the aliveness of this moment? And then the universe uses you because it is going somewhere. There is an evolutionary impulse at work on this planet and everywhere else, because if it's happening here, it's happening everywhere, as above, so below. Then the consciousness that wants to come into this world can freely flow through you and express itself. How? In many different ways, according to your particular form. It might be some enlightened business. It may be that you are producing something that affects many people and brings that consciousness to others through some artistic creation, or this or that, innumerable possibilities. How you can be an opening for the evolutionary impulse of the universe that wants to come through. And then wherever you go, people will be affected by this transformed energy. You cannot not affect the world. When you live in the new state of consciousness, whoever you come into contact with is affected by that. Even if you were a hermit, you would still affect the collective consciousness. If you are a frequency holder, as I call it, in a new earth, a frequency holder is somebody who is not very interested in going out into the world and changing the world or building up some huge, great organization to make the world a better place, or to create a great work of art, or to come up with some new discovery or write a great book. Not that there's anything wrong with these things. For some people, that is their life purpose. But there are some other people who are not drawn to that, who are content with remaining in a relatively small circle of influence, a little, maybe just contemplatives is the old word for those people. People who feel, don't want to go out there and change the world. They just want to be present. And that's fine, because they hold the frequency of that state of consciousness. Because whatever state of consciousness you are in affects the totality of consciousness, is part of the totality of consciousness. So I was a frequency holder for a large part of my life, never very interested in going out into the world and achieving the great things. I was kind of happy being withdrawn, and until something came into my life and I felt there's more that I can do. That was a thought that came. I was doing little workshops with people, 10 people at a time, 15 people, for a number of years, giving talks in people's living rooms. And then it was fine. In many ways I felt happy being a semi-hermit and occasionally going out and doing little things, happy not being famous. That was never thought I would want to be famous. But then a thought came, I could do so much more in this world, but it doesn't seem to be happening. And one day I sat under an oak tree. You could call this, there's a question, this after, later on we'll have some questions. Somebody's asking a question about divine discontent. Whether is that a, do you ever, the question is, do you ever experience what might be called divine discontent? That is a discontent that leads to something very positive. And you could say that there was a moment that came at that time when there, I experienced a mild form of divine discontent, which simply is a sense of there's more than I can do, that I could do, but it's not happening. That's a mild form of divine discontent. It's not some unhappiness that says, oh, I have failed, I'm in my 40s, and what have I achieved? That's not divine discontent. That's just a form of normal unhappiness. With divine discontent, there is not some lot of mind activity around me and my life. There's just a sense of this. My present life situation has these limitations around me, but I could go beyond that. There could be much vaster. The world needs what I know comes through me. I know that the world needs that. So why isn't the world, I'm perhaps speaking for some of you too, why isn't the world opening up these channels for me? So that was the divine discontent. So I sat under an oak tree in Somerset, where I would sometimes go, magnificent oak tree, and I said to the universe, which ultimately to myself, please use me. I was talking to myself ultimately, so because I am that. Please use me. I'm here. So I was a frequency holder, and yet after many years of a frequency holder, I had this sense of, okay, now expansion is what is called for in this world, a moment of divine discontent. Please use me. And I didn't hear any answer. And then I said something that some years later I almost said, maybe I said too much. I said, I want acceleration. Okay. And then I went home and nothing happened for a few months. I didn't know that while nothing was happening for a few months in my little cottage in Somerset, somebody there, don't take it literally, the countdown has already started, like the rocket ship, which goes 10, 9, 8, 7, 6. And then one day I woke up and said, I have to move. I have to move to the west coast of North America. And that was the beginning. And so the rocket ship had taken off suddenly. And finally I landed at the desk of Oprah a few years later. I never wanted that much. It's too much. And then you saw the lesson was to surrender to that. It wasn't too much. It was what was needed. If I'd been stuck to some previous idea that I had about how my life should unfold, then I would be saying, oh, I'm overwhelmed, it's too much. Well, this is surrender now to what is now, surrender to this enormous energy stream that's coming through. You asked for it, you said acceleration. And there it is. And continuously, even in this, my life, many people believe my life situation must be wonderful. In many ways, it is. But no life situation is totally satisfying, and there are always things that happen and change. There's no ultimate certainty in any life situation. You cannot derive long-lasting satisfaction from any life situation, even if you become famous. I can tell you that now. Your life the life situation has not the power to satisfy you for long. The satisfaction needs to be found in life, and life is now. And if you find that, then your life situation is fine. It unfolds and becomes empowered, probably. So don't expect, your life situation does not have the power to make you fulfilled, and it does ultimately not have the power to make you feel unfulfilled. You have to go deeper where you are, bigger than that. Although there was this divine discontent for a little moment, I'm certainly not happier or more fulfilled now than I was when I, as one magazine said, Eckhart Tolle suddenly emerged from complete obscurity. So when I lived in complete obscurity, I didn't know I was in complete obscurity, but I was not less happy than I am now. The state is the same. So there's no sense. It is fulfilling to see that consciousness is evolving through this form, yes. But there's no increased happiness through that. The happiness was already there, basically, the sense of, because I was deeply rooted, as I still am, in life. Life is always more vital to me than the life situation. I'm always going, even now, I'm always a little bit out of balance, even now, although great things are happening, but I'm not recommending that to anybody, I'm just saying, I'm a little bit out of balance because I'm always more vitally drawn to the present moment and the aliveness of that than whatever I have to deal with on an external level. So I'm always going a little bit too much, so sometimes it's a little bit chaotic around me because I don't deal with everything. If I dealt with everything, I would become stressed. It's just too much. So many things just put aside, and then after a few months, they're not a problem anymore because the situation has changed. And I don't do anything when I feel I'm not enjoying it anymore. Stop. What's the point? What is the point in doing something that you cannot enjoy? But don't prematurely say, okay, I definitely can't enjoy this. See if you can connect with the power of now and then do whatever you do. So don't immediately say, well, this what I'm doing definitely I could never enjoy. Maybe, maybe not. Just try connecting, stepping out of the situation into the power of now and then do. Perhaps you can enjoy it. And if you still can't, then go and do something else. But no compromise. Don't live with unhappiness or with continuous stress or frustration. That is a dreadful way to live. And the large part of the world lives like that. So, what a wonderful challenge here. And whatever comes, where it's the life situation and the challenges of your life situation that draw out that which is deeper. So without the challenges, you would be comfortably sitting in your armchair for the next 30 years or until you retire and watching your investments grow and grow and then drop dead. And you would live with complete certainty that you're being looked after because you've got your life insurance and your investments are growing every year, and there's nothing can possibly go wrong, and there's nothing, okay, everything is great. Watch TV every day for 5 hours. And that's it. No evolution, no flowering of consciousness. And then there's somebody else who made a total mess of his or her life and ends up in prison and sits there for 20 years and suddenly wakes up in the midst of that and realizes, I am life. And the situation is just relatively unimportant. To feel that who I am in my essence is beyond any limitation on the external level. So that's why I often get letters from people in prison that say, I have woken up in prison. I'm free. I'm no longer unhappy. And I have another 20 years to do. No, I'm not unhappy anymore. I rarely get people, I get letters from people who say, I've woken up because my investments are growing every year. In fact, I've never had a letter. Sometimes I get letters from people who wake up because they encounter some physical illness, and often change happens then. Any challenge is the opportunity to wake up. If you're not being challenged by life, then wait, it'll come. Now, isn't that wonderful? That means that whatever happens now, it's not no longer some problem that comes into your life. It's a challenge. It's not a dreadful thing. It's great. It's an opportunity to be more conscious, more present with what is. So that brings us back to the first two lines of that book. Life is difficult. Of course, it's full of challenges. But once you know that, and say, that's what it is, that's life is, then it's no longer difficult. It just is what is. It only remains difficult if you have the idea stuck in your head that it shouldn't be. It's a paradox. Life is difficult, and once you know that it's difficult, it's no longer difficult. Knowing that it's difficult implies accepting that it's difficult. But to say it is difficult only when you resist life. So what this implies is it's when the resistance goes, then it's no longer called difficult. It's challenging. It's and every challenge brings increased aliveness. My friend Steve, who is here, can testify to that because he was faced with a challenge recently of being stuck in a hotel room in Bombay with mad terrorists running all around the building for several days. And he went deep inside. Wasn't difficult for him because he was already immersed in presence for many years. So he was able to step out of the situation, which certainly could be called difficult, and go deep within into the power of the present moment, into consciousness itself.